everybody. We have a small group here today. We're missing a lot of people.
I know.
Glad to have you here, though. Few things to announce. First of all, we have prayer meeting, and it is every Wednesday night. And you can just go on our website and click prayer meeting, and you can get right on if you have Zoom, which is really great. We've had some great ones. Last week was a lot of people. We had a lot to pray for. So encourage you to come. Gleaners is every Wednesday at 11 o'clock. You need to come a little before 11, though, because at 11 o'clock when they open it up, the food goes fast. But we have a good following of people that come and do food. And also the food pantry. They will help you with the food pantry if you know somebody that's in need. Then potlucks are going to be back. This is the community potluck. Usually it's the third Thursday of the month. And next time is October 20th, and it'll be in the evening so people that work can come. So that's kind of we're anxious to see how that works out. But she had a good one last month. I can't believe it's October already, but she had a good one, and we had quite a few people that didn't normally come to church here. So it's a good outreach. So that's a very good thing. I encourage you guys to come. We'll be announcing it more as it gets closer.
For Sunday?
No. We can still have a Sunday one. We need to plan another Sunday one. But yes. And then we also have Teresa's installation to our church on the 23rd of October. And it'll be at 3 o'clock. That's a Sunday afternoon. So, or 3:30. I thought we were changing it, so I'm sorry. And I'm encouraging everybody to put it on your calendars, save the date. It'll be good. Yes, save the date. And then also October is Pastor Appreciation Month. So for this, we're going to have a scripture each week for Pastor Appreciation. So why do we stand and say? This is not our call to worship. This is just for pastor appreciation. Oh, we could just sit down there. Just sit. Everybody say it together, though. And I will give you pastors according to my heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. Jeremiah 3:15. All right. So we feel like the Lord really led Pastor Teresa here. We're thankful to have her here. We have the shoeboxes coming up. We'll collect them November 20th. Yeah. So encouraging you to start watching for things. And she has a short little video this morning.
Hello, I'm Greta Van Susteren, and
I'm John Cole,
and we have a wonderful project ahead of us. It is Operation Christmas Child. We're going to pack a box for you, and this is a box for children all over the world so that they can experience love, Christmas, and enjoy actually just having a present. I'm going to pack for a girl ages 10 to 14. How about you?
I'm a boy 5 to 9.
All right, here's my bag. All right, what do you got?
I have a pump. For this, a soccer ball.
I got a bear.
The pad with pens.
Fashionable socks.
This is something I haven't seen since I was a kid. Jacks.
That was 200 years ago.
I know, but the kids will love it.
The interesting thing about each box that you pack, that I pack, they're all unique. We've traveled with Samaritan's Purse to different places to hand them out. We've gone to places like a landfill in Ecuador with the poorest of poor children, never had a thing in their lives. When they open up these boxes and see the gifts that for them,
the kids squeal with joy.
It is
really
good.
It's really something to behold.
One other thing. This is what's extra fun about this whole process of packing a box. Now, these boxes go all over the world. We can add a personal touch. That's what's really fun. Okay, John and I have pictures of ourselves. That's John on the left, me on the right. And anyway, but on the back, we're gonna write a little note. My name is Greta Van Susteren. I live in Washington, D.C. And I wish you a very Merry Christmas, and I hope you have a wonderful New Year, or something like that, something personal. And with that, I wish you a very Merry Christmas, and don't forget, it's not too late to pack a box. And God bless you.
Merry Christmas. God bless you.
Good ideas. I my goal is someday I would love to get to go hand those out to the kids.
Oh, yeah.
We've gone to the warehouse part of it, and that was a blessing. That was fun. But, oh, I would just think it would be so much fun to see, get to see those kids open up things. That would be fun. So, one other thing I just wanted to say. Tomorrow is Lori Cooper's birthday. So, if anybody would like to come and meet us at Primetime, we're going to take Lori to Primetime for her birthday.
Lori?
Yeah, so... anyway, for lunch, just to give her a treat. So if anybody wants to come and have lunch with us, well, I'm afraid it's going to interfere with your thing because I thought we thought about 11:30, but we could do at 1. Let's do 1. Okay. 1 o'clock. So prime time at 1 o'clock. So if anybody's interested, just come and bless her because, yeah, she's really, yeah, it's her first birthday by herself and We're gonna take her and for the day.
That's good.
Yeah. So anyway, I think I'm. In fact, she even said maybe I'll get a walker because her walker is falling apart. So anyway, that's another thing. I just thought we would announce it so anybody that could possibly go would it would. I know she would be excited to see you guys. So, all right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you today just open hearts, Lord, just so excited to just hear what you have for us to learn today. Father God, I just know that you've put something special on Pastor Teresa's heart, and I just ask that you open our hearts just to hear the message that you want. And I ask that we also open our hearts as we sing praises to you. We've got some really great songs today, and they have awesome message in each one of them. So may you just be blessed by our songs today. And then bless us as we start out the week. We just give you praises in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right, we're going to go to our call to worship, and now you can stand. It's 1 Chronicles 29:11. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, the glory, the victory, and the majesty. Everything in the heavens and on earth is yours, O Lord, and this is your kingdom. We adore you as the one who is over all things. Amen. All right, so first of all, our first song is All Creatures of Our God and King. All creatures of our God and King, lift up your voice and let us sing. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thou burning sun with golden beams, thou silver moon with softer gleam. Oh, praise him. Oh, praise him. Hallelujah. 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 Thou rushing wind that art so strong, ye clouds that sail in heaven alone, thou rising morn in praise rejoice, ye lights of evening find a voice. Oh, praise him, oh, praise him.
water pure and clean. Make music for thy Lord to hear. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thou fire so masterful and bright, providing warmth and giving light. Oh, praise him. Oh, praise him. Alleluia. 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 Let all things their Creator bless and worship him in humbleness. Oh, hallelujah. Praise, praise the Father, praise the Son, and praise the Spirit, three in one. Oh, praise him. Oh, praise him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Standing on the promises.
Good old favorite.
I know.
Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises that cannot fail. When the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living word of God I shall prevail. Standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises I cannot fall, listening every moment to the Spirit's call, resting in my Savior as my all in all. Standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God.
So this next one, just as I am, while you watch the screen, pay attention with each screen what the hands, the symbol of the hands does. Debbie's did a really good job with that.
Just just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am and wait, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve, because thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God. Just as I am, thy love unknown hath broken every barrier down. Now to be thine, yes,
those are great words in that song.
Sweet Heavenly Dove. without a doubt we'll know that we have been revived when we shall leave this place. There are blessings you cannot receive till you
Jeremy's giving me this look. And we were talking about giving the other day. Jeremy and I were talking about, and he opened my eyes in the respect that giving from your heart, what does that mean? Jeremy didn't say that directly, but he applied it to that. Jeremy, you're pretty smart. Father God, we just want to give back to you. How can we give back is a question. Can we give back? We're just giving back monetarily now, but Lord, we need to give back more in prayer, in praise, in reading your word, and sharing you to others. God, bless us to be your feet here on earth. Bless us to be your servants here on earth. Bless us. Bless the giver now in the blessed name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Sister Carolyn, when I think of prayer today, I'm thinking of Ivan, and he's recovering still from COVID, and my heart just goes out to him right now. It's just, he's having a rough time, and we just want to lift him up. And I'm looking there at his family, and Claire's doing this, and I know she's saying, God, please, I want my daddy well. And I feel that, Claire. Any prayer requests, please, or praises? Praises? Uh-oh. Amen. Oh, good. All right. Praise the Lord. Teresa shared with us that her son had lost his passport, and they're going on a gig with their band, and God bless at that last second for that new passport to come in. And we just want to give him the praise, giving God the praise right now. Amen. We went through that very same situation with our daughter-in-law passport situation. And we, Dawn and I, drove her up to Vancouver because it's easier to get across the border by car than by plane, isn't it? But God's good. Any other praises? I saw Landon wanting to say something. Are you thinking about it, Landon? Well, right now, I know that Landon and Dawson are recovering from COVID too, and that just that sigh of relief to me is a real blessing. Amen. Yes. Wyatt came. Yes, Claire? Pray for your what, Claire? Oh, for your new braces? Oh, for your loose tooth. There's a difference between braces and loose tooth. Yes, yes. Well, we'll pray for Claire's loose tooth then. Well, I won't say that one out loud, Fred. Yes. Mm-hmm. Right. Right. Yeah. No. Judy shared about Lori Cooper recovering with radiation, and she got the medicine changed, and she's pretty weak, and she's birthday's tomorrow, and this is her first birthday without Jim, and so she's kind of hurting down the dumps there. We'll just pray that God uplifts her, and that those that can be there tomorrow can uplift her and give her a spruce and a kick, you know. Donna and I went to see her yesterday. Donna did some laundry. We went over there, and she says, Bill, I brought you something. She's outside, you know, can't go in with all that COVID crisis stuff. And I got you a bag, and I opened it up, and inside are two plums. And she said, I was thinking of you. Does she think I'm a prune? Anyway, it was so sweet in her sharing. I went to see Dan and Becky Crew. Dan is weak. He's very weak. His counts were really low, and so they backed off on the radiation. No, chemo. I would get the two confused. And he says, Bill, other than that, I feel good. I'm okay. Just weak. He says, I only can stand about 30-minute to an hour visit. Then I just want to sleep. I just want to lay down. And that's not Dan when it comes to watching the football game or something like that, especially when he watches his Cowboys or the OSU or something. It's hard for Dan. But I got to see his brother, Dennis, yesterday. I'm so glad I went over there. Pray for Becky. She really needs strength. Pray that this medicine kicks in that she's doing. She's fighting through some situation she really needs prayer for. All right. Any others? Jeremy? Oh, well, we've got a praise and a prayer. Our son Jeff from Illinois. I get Indiana and Illinois confused. They're right next together. I know what both states look like. I just can't remember where Jeff lives. Anyway, they're coming to visit. He and Jocelyn are coming. And Lisa are coming to visit and pray that everything goes good and accommodations in our house. And they have a great visit. We have a great visit with them, too. All right. I know Wyatt came up to me and says this morning, he says, I had 23 stitches in his leg, just on his left leg, right? Right leg. Right leg left. Okay. And he wants us to really just lift him up in prayer that this is a heals fast. Heals fast. And you have a prayer. And what? Oh, he gets him out tomorrow? Well, he's moving right along. maybe. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Oh, good. Well, and by the way, Barnes & Noble reopened their store in Tennisburg. For those that are interested in their store. Anyway, that's beside note. Teresa shared with a praise with her younger sister, having a special writing utensil where she can sign books. Signing had a great one at Powell's. Carol. Woohoo! Tony Marble is in his house in Boston. I'm not going to pronounce that. Cape Cod, Massachusetts. Barnes Noble. And he's got his house, but his furniture has not arrived yet. So we want to pray that his furniture gets there at least all in one piece. All right, any others? Centralville? Houses in Centralville. Yeah, I can say that one. All right. Any others? All right. God, we are really blessed, Lord. We are blessed beyond belief. Father God, we want to lift up our praises and prayers to you right now. Lord, a praise that Ivan's doing better, but he needs a healing from this COVID, a complete recovery, Father God. Praying for Wyatt with the stitches in his knee, Lord, that you're constantly strengthening him. May he be cautious, Lord, that he doesn't have any more injuries. Lord, we pray for Dan and Becky Kroon, Father God, with Dan's weakness and Becky giving her strength, Father God. Father God, we miss Wink and Phyllis today, Lord. Be with Wink and Phyllis and family. Be with Lori Cooper with his birthday celebration and give her the peace that passes all understanding. Father God, we pray for Claire with a loose tooth, Lord, with that situation. We praise you, Lord, with Teresa's many praises that she gave and shared today. Lord, I have a special prayer request for myself, not only with the car situation being resolved, but God. We're having a rough time at work where they've walked out several employees that have been there for many, many years, Lord. And Lord, this has been a real shock for families and fellow workers, Lord, that we pray, Lord, that you give us the strength to endure and the strength to lift you up constantly, whether we're let go or whether we're still there, Lord, we just pray for your wisdom and strength and comfort, Father God. God, you're awesome. You help us when we're on top of the clouds or we're underneath the deepest sea. You help us. God, we pray, Lord, that you just strengthen us and guide us in the blessed name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. All right, shall we have some prayer for the youth kids here today? Yeah. Y'all want to come up here? All right. I get beside Skeeter here. And this is Skeeter. This is Dawson. This is Wyatt. Wyatt, remember, we've been praying for Skeeter. Okay, nice. Oh, this is a special prayer request up here right now. So we're going to pray right now. Father God, we pray for your children here, Lord, that we teach them and praise you in your teaching of these children, Lord. Lord, Wyatt just came up with a prayer request for his mom, Lord. For surgery, was that Wyatt? Just yesterday, for her arm, God. We just pray that you touch her right now. Give her the peace and comfort that only you can give. In the blessed name of Jesus, we pray for each one here. We pray for the teachers, Lord. We pray for the parents, the families, Lord, that are raising up these fine, fine children of the future, your future, in the blessed name of Jesus Christ. Amen. As Teresa's coming up, she doesn't know this, but I feel a special, special prayer for her right now. So if you join me in this prayer, God, we want to lift up our pastor Teresa to you right now, Lord, that you touch her heart, open our hearts to what she's got to share from your word. May we sing praises of joy. May we hear hearts of joy. May we give her the undivided attention she so rightly deserves. In the blessed name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Did you hear my knees? I think Sister Judy heard my knees. They were going quick, 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 quick. She was like, I'm okay. I really am okay. Thank you, brother, for praying. God is good. Yes, all the time. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Welcome to you again, those who are watching us via social media. Isn't technology a wonderful thing? It's a wonderful thing when it's working, right? There is that. Praise God, though, because it's a good day. It's a good day to be alive, a good day to see our brothers and sisters in Christ, to be with our friends, to be with our family, to be able to exalt the name of God. So we're going to jump into our word today. Can you think of a time? I want you to just pause for a moment. Think of a time that you were betrayed. You had your really close friend, and they said that they were going to do something for you. And then when the time came to do the thing, Sarah, they fell short. It's like, really? Or maybe you confided in them, Susie, and you said, this is for your ears only. I need you to pray with me on this. Oh, of course. 2 days later, several other people know about the one thing. That hurts, right? That hurts. Because you trusted them. Or maybe someone said or did something that was just simply offensive. Do you remember how that felt in that moment? I think there are several moments where we can all like, yeah, I do remember that. Now, also think about, don't sit there with that heaviness of, ugh, yeah, that didn't feel good. I want you to think about also, were you able to reconcile that relationship? What did that look like for you? Were you able to actually forgive them for falling short? Did they turn around and do it again? Now, don't answer. I hear some people going, oof, I have a list of those people. No, shh. Don't share it. It doesn't feel good, does it, at all, when those things happen? And sometimes I feel like just because I forgave you the first time doesn't mean I'll be willing to forgive you again. Right, Sister Susie? Because see, we should have this understanding now. You messed up the one time. Well, okay, maybe a second time. But I'm not going to hang around and still be your friend, right? After the third, the fourth, and the fifth time. In today's scripture, we're going to see Jesus teaching his disciples how to be like God, even when people disappoint. Even then, God is calling us to be like him. So now turn with me, follow along in Luke chapter 17. I'm going to be sharing from the New Living Translation. Luke chapter 17, and we're going to begin with verse 1 and go down through verse 10. Luke 17 reads this. One day, Jesus said to his disciples, "There will always be temptations to sin. But what sorrow awaits the person who does the tempting? It would be better to be thrown into the sea with a millstone hung around your neck than to cause one of these little ones to fall into sin." And Jesus says, "So watch yourselves. If another believer sins, rebuke that person. Then, if there is repentance, forgive. Even if that person wrongs you 7 times a day and each time turns again and asks forgiveness, you must forgive." The apostle said to the Lord, "Well, show us how to increase our faith." The Lord said, "If you had faith, even as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, 'May you be uprooted and be planted into the sea,' and it would obey you. When a servant comes in from plowing or taking care of sheep, does his master say, 'Come in and eat with me'? No, he says, 'Prepare my meal, put on your apron, and serve the meal while I eat. Then you can eat later.' And does the master thank the servant for doing what he was told to do? Of course not. In the same way," listen to what Jesus says, "when you obey me, you should say, 'We are unworthy servants who have simply done our duty.'" Curious. Curious. Now, there are about at least 3 lessons I counted, all wrapped up in this one passage. I think there's more, but we're going to focus on 3. Jesus is teaching his disciples in the presence of Pharisees. Remember, there's always Pharisees, Sadducees, religious leaders of the day hanging around, as well as others who are trying to check who this Jesus is. They're checking him out, along with those who truly believe and are following Jesus. So Jesus is in their presence, teaching his disciples how to be like God. And in this particular setting, how to serve him with forgiveness. So he teaches them that temptation happens and to do their best not to cause others to stumble. That's the first lesson. But then he also teaches them how to forgive and seek reconciliation. That's also part of the equation. And then the last thing he says, he teaches them that obedience will help them conquer sin, as opposed to what they were asking for, more faith. Increase our faith. He says, it's not about your faith. It's about your obedience. So now let's examine the first lesson on temptation. Jesus normalizes temptation. I don't know, sometimes I remember growing up and people saying, you know, acting as if being tempted itself was the sin. And it's like, no, that's wrong. Temptation is natural. If you are alive, you're going to be tempted. If you are living for Jesus, you're going to be tempted. And so Jesus says it's a normal human thing that occurs. So it's nothing to be afraid of. It's nothing that you need to repent of. It happens to everyone. It's part of being human. And if we recall, we saw Jesus when he was tempted, right before he began his public ministry. Remember? So if God himself, living as a human being, gets tempted, there's no sin in that. This is why you have to really read scripture and understand its context. So let's go briefly to Luke chapter 4, because Luke tells the story of Jesus himself being tempted. Just a couple of the verses I want to highlight. Chapter 4 says this: "Then Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan River. He was led by the Spirit in the wilderness," verse 2 says, "where he was tempted by the devil for 40 days. And now I'll jump down to verse 13. "When the devil had finished tempting Jesus, he left him until the next opportunity came." There's a whole lot in there, Susie. Just a whole lot right there. So first of all, Jesus, God's representative, he is tempted. And the funny thing that happens in this text is verse 13. It's a very curious thing, because it says, yeah, the devil left him alone until the next time. Until he's always looking for an opportunity to tempt Jesus himself. So the lesson to us is, well, if he tempted Jesus several times, what makes me think he's not going to tempt me a whole lot more times? Mm-hmm. So there's no sin in being tempted. It's what you do with that temptation. Very fascinating. So you see, Jesus, the Son of God, he was tempted several times that the enemy comes back. Now, we don't see in scripture all the times that the enemy comes back and tempts Jesus, but we know that he did over and over again. Just like he comes back at different stages in our life, he's going to use different people, different situations, all the things that he can to get at us. So we have to keep that in mind, that there you have an enemy of your soul who is working over and over again against you. Now, the good thing, if you read Luke chapter 4, you will note how Jesus conquered the enemy of our souls, not only in that day, but all the times when the devil returned to him with other temptations. Jesus knew the word of God. He had it in his heart. So then, when the enemy came with crazy talk, trying to twist the meaning of the scriptures, of those passages, Jesus had the authority, he had the knowledge to interrupt the lies. You see how powerful that is? Yeah, you're coming at me quoting scripture, but I actually have understanding of the scripture. I actually have studied the word of God. I'm living my life for God. Therefore, when you come to me trying to misquote stuff, I can just turn right back on you and say, that's actually not what that scripture means. And that's what Jesus did. He gave us that example. He interrupted the lies of the enemy. So that means for us, if we want to overcome temptation, we must know God's word, so that we can, as Paul wrote to Timothy, rightly divide the word of truth. What that means, what Paul was actually talking to Timothy about, is knowing what the word of God says and being able to understand it and apply it to your life. This is why we teach our children to memorize scriptures, right? I remember growing up in the church, we used to have all kinds of contests, you know, in vacation Bible school, who could memorize all of the verses for each day. And then at the end of the week, you know, you have this contest. As we got older, we memorized longer passages of scripture, right? What was the purpose of that? Like, sometimes I think when we're kids, we're just like, oh, this is just fun. This is going to, you know, we're going to win prize. No, it was the adults trying to train us to study the word of God, know God's word. Because at any given time, it could be a coworker, it could be a stranger on the street, it might be the people on the news, on the TV, Sarah. talking crazy. And you're going to be like, wait, what? You might get caught up in it for a moment. But the word of God that you memorized is going to come back to you. You're going to be like, oh, no, that's wrong. Mm-mm. Because you got the word of God in you. We have to study it. We have to know it so that you can see the enemy coming, almost like you could smell him. Like, mm-hmm, I smell you, devil. I smell you coming. Before I can even see you coming around that corner, I can smell you. And I'm ready. Why? Because I have the word of God. So Jesus is that wonderful example to us. Overcoming the temptation by knowing the word of God and knowing how to rightly use it. And Jesus didn't talk about how to overcome temptation like he did. Instead, he captured his disciples' attention by warning them to avoid being the temptation that causes others to stumble and sin. Now, I think Jesus said those words because he knew he had a greater audience. And he was saying to those religious leaders and those among us even today who believe we are oh so holy because we do have scripture memorized. And I can tell you what it says of Mark. I've memorized the whole book of Mark. Awesome. Now, are you loving the other people around you? Are you extending grace? Are you being kind? Are you long-suffering? Are you patient? So if you can't pass those tests, I don't care how much Bible you got memorized. And this is what Jesus is saying. Stop doing these things that seem holy and actually be holy. Don't go around setting up stumbling blocks that prevent people from coming to God, or that might trip them up in their learning as they are developing their relationship with God. Woe to the person who does that. Not only are you succumbing to your own temptation, but now you are leading others in the same way. It's going to cause them to stumble and to sin. Now, in our current judicial system, you can actually be found guilty and have charges brought against you because you wrongfully influenced a minor. Those are the words. And depending on your state, that those are the actual words that they'll cite to you. I believe it's called contributing delinquency of a minor. That's how it'll show up in the law book when you get arrested and charged. You can see also people being fined, or they'll face other consequences when a group of people break the law. So when you have like a bunch of people, it's like say a gang of bank robbers, like if you think in the Westerns, the old movies, it's the leader of the pack is the one who gets charged more than the rest of the group. Why? Because they were the ones leading the others to do the wrong thing, to steal, to break into the bank and steal all the people's money. Yeah, you're all going to go to jail, but you, leader, you're going to get more time than the rest. They were aiding and abetting. They went along with your foolery, but you're the one who thought it up and planned it all out. So this is what Jesus is saying. Don't be that one. Don't be that one who's misleading people because you've got it all thought out. Woe to you. Now, this is an example of what Jesus was teaching about temptation. Don't be that one who leads others into doing wrong. It is better you had died than to have to face judgment for misleading others. That is just powerful. Again, Jesus is telling it like it is. You who think you're oh so holy, be careful. Be careful. Because you just might be the one who's creating stumbling blocks for others. And that was the sin of the religious leaders of Jesus' day. They got caught up in tradition and they replace God's word, making human traditions the priority. And this is essentially displacing God. And therefore, it's wrong. It's just wrong. It's just wrong. When you can define what's right and wrong and how people should conduct themselves, and it's really not biblically based, we better pause and think about that. Because now you're saying, I know better than God. I mean, it's Gales Creek Church. These are the rules and regulations that we're going to have here. Okay, well, that's great. But are they biblical? Or are you just making up stuff? Because Sister Judy says, you want to be coronated. Do you want to be, is this your coronation service? You the queen and the king now? What are we doing? Is this your church or is this God's church? It's real easy to get caught up in wanting the power, and we want positions because we want people to look at us in a certain way, right? Jesus says, don't give in to that temptation. Don't do it because you're going to start doing things your way and really not God's way. Don't replace God. And unfortunately, it happens even now. You know, I've said this before, and I'll say it again and again and again. The reason we have scripture is so that we can understand who we are. It's not those dumb Israelites. How in the world did they do that? Why in the world did they wander around that long if they had just listened to Moses? Dear one. How long have you struggled with ABC in your life? Now, we're not going to point out, had you just listened to the Holy Spirit in the first place, you wouldn't be in said predicament. We're not going to go there. The fact is, can you be humble enough to course correct? Can you say to God, you know, God, ooh-wee, I have been acting out. I need you to forgive me and help me to act right, Jesus. Help me to act right. That's what God wants from us. He says, don't get caught up in your traditions. I need you to have a relationship with me. Don't get caught up in the performative measures, trying to impress others, trying to keep up with others, trying to live up to what others think and what they value. This is the lesson for all of us. God should be first in our life, not second or third, but first. His word teaches us who we are to be and how we are to conduct ourselves. So he says to his disciples, be careful. The Pharisees emphasize outward appearance and social status, and God's intentions of walking humbly with God and seeking justice got lost along the way. Oh, saints of God, let that not be true for us. Be careful, Jesus warns. Your standards of holiness and self-righteousness can cause someone else to stumble. They may walk away from Christian community and give up on God because they cannot meet your standards. Not God's standards, your standards. Let's move on to the second lesson. The second lesson is about reconciliation, because we are agents of reconciliation. That's our job, is to go out and help others be reconciled back to God. That was Jesus' ministry when he walked the planet Earth, and then he passed it on to his disciples, and we are his current day disciples. So we now have the ministry of reconciliation. Remember, Jesus died in our place so that we could be reconciled back to God. And so he expects us, his disciples, to forgive just like God forgave us. And so Jesus teaches them, those disciples there listening to him, and us today, how to live in Christian community. He says, if someone sins, hold him accountable. It's okay to be mad and hurt and in your feelings for a moment, because again, we're human beings. So it's like, oh, like how we talked about earlier, oh, that didn't feel good. But you can't sit there forever. You have to turn around and go, okay, Lord, help me to process these emotions. Help me to heal and recover, but also help me to reconcile that broken relationship. This is what God expects of us. So he says, hold them accountable. And when they ask for forgiveness, don't be like some of us. I'm not going to say any names. Well, if you hadn't done this and that and that, and make sure next time, blah, 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 you know, you have your whole list for them. And now I will forgive you. Okay, well, Jesus just said, just forgive them, please. You don't need to lecture and go on and try to bring it up every single time. 5 weeks from now, you bringing it up again. And then 6 months after that, you brought it up again. No, that's not forgiveness. Stop that. Jesus says, hold them accountable and forgive. But you know, this seems easy enough, right? I think it sounds reasonable, Sister Lori. I mean, okay. They act out. We hold them accountable. It's a do-over. We forgive. But someone falls short. You lovingly point out the misstep and plan for better outcomes in the future. Acknowledge their shortcoming. It's all good. The challenge, though, Sister Donna, comes when Jesus says, because this is what I had a hard time. I was like, wait a minute, what now? Did he just say what I thought he said? Mm-hmm, he did. To forgive them 7 times a day. I know, wait, what? Wait, what? Let me make sure I go back. Let me read this fine print. What does it say here? Let me make it larger. Did he say at least 7 times? Or no less than 7 times? At least in a lifetime? In the next 6 months? No, he actually said 7 times a day. A day? Well, now, see, I told y'all before, don't nothing good come out of Nazareth. I mean, what is happening right now? Has he lost his mind? Why in the world? Why? Brother Gene, can you tell me why? I would forgive somebody 7 times in 1 day. Why would I do that? Well, what would be the benefit? Does he think I'm crazy or are they crazy? Somebody's crazy in this equation. Either the offender is crazy or I am, because I continue to keep dealing with them. I mean, it's clear that the person is disingenuous when they say, I'm sorry. You know how people just say you're sorry. I'm sorry. They don't mean they're sorry. They're just saying the words. So if you come to me 7 times a day, Sister Lord, with I'm sorry, I don't know about that. So why would Jesus say that? Why? But you have to give the disciples credit. Because see, they didn't respond like I did. I'm like, nope, can't. They were holy, Sister Lori. They said, Jesus, that's impossible. You will need to increase our faith so that we can forgive like how you want us to. There's no way in this world that we can practice that kind of mercy, that kind of patience, that kind of forgiveness. It is not humanly possible. So you have to give us more faith. That's a very good Christian response, unlike mine. What? Uh-uh. Can't do it. Won't do it. Nope. Not 7 times in a day. Mm-mm. No. But listen to how Jesus responds. He responds to me. And responds very loving and kindly to his disciples. They are asking for an increase in faith. And this is the third lesson. He has to point it out to them. It's not an increase in faith that will help you live right and love others. Obedience is how you conquer the temptation of self-righteousness and have the ability to forgive. So I have to admit, once again, when I was a child, and actually into my young adulthood, I believe, I heard this phrase preached and taught that if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can do anything. And I think that bred a lot of people who were going around the naming and claiming folks because they looked at that scripture. I just have faith. This thing's going to happen for me. No, that's actually not what this is about. You have to read. This is why you got to know the Word of God. It's written there, but what did Jesus mean when he said those words? What is the context of him saying these words? So when you look at the context, you realize he's not saying, oh, if I say do this and do this, this is going to happen. We're not genies in a bottle who can just have three wishes for everybody around us. No. But when you read that, you think, oh, I can just go out and say stuff? No, not quite. Because you can actually say all types of things, but you actually don't have the power to change things for your mere benefit. So keep that in the back of your mind. You and a bunch of friends, a bunch of your sanctified, holy friends, can go to Mount Hood right now, right? Make that drive to the east side this very day. You all can gather around, lay hands on the mountain, pray some really good prayers. Mount Hood, we command you in the name of Jesus, be lifted up and go out there into the Pacific Ocean. And guess what's going to happen, Sister Susie? It's going to stay right where it is. Why? Because God doesn't answer vain prayers like that. That's not what he's actually telling you to go do. It has nothing to do with your faith or lack thereof. No, stop that. Allow me to quote Father Mike. Father Mike, he is an Episcopalian priest out of Texas, Tejas. And I really like what he has to say. I'm trying to explain, what is Jesus saying about this faith the size of a mustard seed? And Sister Debbie, thank you. It's a long quote, so I had Sister Debbie put it up for us so you can read along with me. Listen to what he says. Faith is not given to us in a packet to be spent as currency in our dealings with God. Faith is not measured out according to how difficult the task or work before us. Faith is not a thing we have or get. Listen to what he says. Faith is a relationship of trust and love. It means opening ourselves to receive another's life and giving our life to another. That other one is Jesus the Christ. That one faith relationship is determinative of who we are and how we live. Isn't that something? So it's not this commodity. It's not like dollar bills that we have and you're going to pay $3 of faith for this one prayer and then another $2 for the other one. It's like that's not how it works. What Jesus is trying to describe to his disciples and to those listening that day about our faith is the qualitative relationship, not quantitative. And I know he uses the words the size of the mustard seed. So automatically your mind goes to that, and that means quantity. No, it's the quality that he's talking about. So when he says to them, you can speak and move that tree, he's actually comparing the tree's obligation to do what they want if the tree was their servant to them. See, Jesus is teaching this. He's drawing this parallel. You, being God's servants, are going to do what God tells you to. Why? Because you are faithful to the God that you love. So you're acting out of obedience to do what he's saying to do. So if you were in right, in a loving, faithful relationship with that tree or Mount Hood, the mountain would actually move for you because it's your servant. This is why he talks about that. But it's not, oh, I'm going to talk to this mic. I'm going to lay my hands on this. No, that's not it. Relationship is what motivates us. So this is what Jesus is trying to say. As his servants, his disciples are going to do what God tells them to do because they are in a faithful, loving relationship with him. And so our relationship with God motivates us to act and to be as he commands. Are you following me? So when he tells us to forgive others, whether it's 7 times a day, 7 times a year, 70 times 7, as he said in another context, we do it. It is our relationship with God that has shown us his mercy, his loving kindness. We know that when we sin, we know that we are not in right relationship with God. And yet, he restored us and he forgave us. Not just once, not just twice, not up to 7 times, but more than that. So he's saying, if you truly love me, if you are truly my child, my disciple, you are going to go out in this world and all those people who act out, you're still going to be loving and kind to them, and you are going to forgive them because you are acting like me. I forgave you. That's the point. We forgive because we know what it's like to be forgiven. And like the faithful tree would obey the command to go to the sea, if we are faithful to our God, we will be obedient servants. And so Jesus further illustrates that idea, and this is why it's a strange story, but he's trying to again prove his point by comparing their faithfulness and obedience to God to the human servant who obeys the commands of his employer. When the boss comes home, the servant doesn't ask, "What's for dinner?" No, it's the other way around. The servant has the meal already prepared for his boss. And when we profess Christ, we are no longer the bosses of our lives. God becomes our boss. So when he says, "Hey, I need you to go over there, turn to the right," don't put your hand on your hip and go, "Why do you want me to go to..." Stop with all the arguing and just come along and turn to the right. Now, he will, again, because he's a gracious God and he is very, 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 very patient. He will sit and he will listen. Because Sister Donna, I probably have my hand on my hip several times a week when I'm talking to God. Now, Jesus, what in the world? He'll say, "Come on, baby girl. Come on, come on. Tell what's on your heart, what's on your mind." And then I got to get it all out, Sister Susie. Now. And then he says, "Oh, great. Now, are you going to turn right like I asked you to?" And then I'm like, "Yes, I'm going to turn right." But we don't have to do all that. You can just obey. Trust and obey. That's what the song says. So now let's review the takeaways for today. First, Jesus said, temptation is normal. There's nothing wrong with you because you've been tempted. It's what the enemy does. It's part of his job. It's what he does. We can, however, conquer the temptation by knowing God's word. Know the word of God for yourself. Second, because we are God's servants, we are obliged to do what God commands, which is love him above all and love others like we do ourselves. Loving others includes forgiving them over and over and over and over. Doesn't mean we don't hold them accountable. We're supposed to hold people accountable. But you also got to forgive over and over and over. And one more again. Lastly, our obedience to God proves our faith in Him and our faithfulness to Him. We believe who He says He is, and we live our lives imitating Him. That's what we do when we love God, really and truly. Let's pray. Holy God, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for allowing us to dig a little bit deeper. We look at your words, we read them, we have known them from when we were kids, and yet when we reread again, you teach us something new. Thank you, God, for that. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for growing us up and maturing us in Christ. That's how you've designed us to be, so that we can be more and more like you, rightly reflecting who you are in our lives, so that other people can know who you are. Thank you, God, for trusting us with that ministry to reconcile other people back to you. It's an awesome thing. And sometimes, Jesus, we forget. We forget that that's why you've created us in your image, to be like you. So help us, Lord, to do that. Forgive us when we focus on the external things, thinking about what holy people should wear, what holy people should eat, the type of music we should listen to, the type of movies we should watch. And it's not those things. Those things don't make us holy. But, you know, we're human beings. I mean, that's the language that we speak. So this is what we know. Forgive us, God, when we confuse those things. Forgive us. And help us, Lord, to be different from today moving forward, so that as we grow this church for your glory, we will be able to bring in those who are different from us, who think differently from us, they dress different from us, they sing different songs than we do, all the things, Jesus. Because we know that we all belong to you. And we thank you for it. We bless your holy name. Amen. All right, let's close with a beautiful song to remind us of who we are in Christ.
And we're going to close with Praise the Name of Jesus.
Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. He's my rock. He's my fortress. He's my deliverer. In Him will I trust. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. He's my rock. He's my fortress. He's my deliverer. In Him will I trust. Praise the name of Jesus.
Amen.
He's my rock. He's my deliverer. In Him will I trust. May these lyrics stay with you this week. When you are tempted to walk away, because you're tired and you're frustrated and you don't want to be bothered no more, remember those words. Jesus, he's my rock. He's my deliverer. In him will I trust. And he will help you to persevere. He will help you to overcome and continue to shine your light. Until we meet again, go in God's grace, go in his peace, and Lord bless you and keep you.